And welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting action from inside the Rebel County as well as further afield. Plenty on the show today, from rugby to football and GAA. And we're going to go to the hurling first, as I was privileged to be joined by Clubber TV's Mick Lenehan to chat about the Cork Hurlers' opening fixture this year. They came against Waterford in Fraher Field, beating him on a scoreline of 115 to 10 points. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork's very own and Clubber TV's very own Mick Lenehan. Mick, I hope you have the soup into you after that one. You were out in Fraher Field in Dungarvan for Cork versus Waterford.
Dan, that was the cold one, I'll tell you that for one thing. I was talking to a few of the lads before the game last January. I think we were in Clare Castle for Limerick's opening encounter with Clare, and I met John Kiley that day, and that was the coldest day that I can remember, and today it wasn't far behind it.
And what were the conditions like out there? Watching the stream, conditions underfoot, a lot of, you know, players slipping and things like that. It seemed tough conditions to play in.
Yeah, at the start of it, I walked the pitch beforehand, and surprisingly enough, I was happy enough. I thought it'd be a bit harder, but it was actually quite soft, and it cut up a nice bit after. But I probably put it into safe conditions, so, which was the most important thing.
And how much of that do you think played into, you know, a lack of intensity today? I know first game out, it's not going to be that high of an intensity anyway, but there was a lot of balls dropping short. I know Waterford had a few chances and just kind of failed to pack Collins. You know, the sticks were getting fairly wet today, Mick.
Yeah, they were. It was the handling conditions were poor as well for it. I suppose only when you're out there then that you'd know how cold it was there and try to settle down. Probably Cork maybe got off to a good start for the first 20 minutes, died down a bit again. But then for Waterford's style of play they have now, we must remember that they have a lot of new faces in as well. And that is very important. But overall, conditions I thought were good towards the end of the game, cut up nicely, and it was definitely tough for the players, though, no doubt about that.
And how was the breeze there as well, Mick? Because I know Cork kind of put Waterford away in the first half, really. I know changes were made from the bench into the second. Was it due to the strong breeze, or do you think it was just due to the changes that were perhaps made?
Yeah, we were talking about in the commentary box, John and Mark, and Mark Merrick, and there was a big breeze there, all right, with that. On pitch side, we found out a bit, all right, that was a good breeze. Mark reckoned maybe about 6 or 7 points, and he wasn't far wrong, because if you look back to the start of the second half, Waterford have, they were lively enough, and they got into the game quite nicely at that stage.
Looking at the match and looking at the teams themselves, were you surprised to see such a strong Cork line-up the first day out of the season? Or does it just go to show you the strength and depth now we have in this Cork panel?
Then that's the key question. That's what a person said to me in the stand, and I said, maybe now that you're after seeing all our players, you may look and you say it is strong. But in the background, you're introducing kind of players in the last few years as well, and all of a sudden now, when you see the likes, if you look onto the bench, you see Alan Walsh, Ken Turk as well, that came on as a sub, 5-10 in his championship around Cork. You know, he's one of the players. Look at Shane Kingston, a stalwart, a legend in Cork, came on and scored another beautiful few points as well. Shane Barrett, Tim O'Mahony was introduced. Going back a few years ago then, would we be saying that were they household names? Maybe not. But Shane Kingston for the likes of him would be. But now all of a sudden, these are top-class players, and they show that why they're in an All-Ireland final as well.
We surprised to see Dickie Dalton up in centre-forward, and talk to us about that goal as well.
Yeah, there was a Patrick Horgan-style goal, to be fair. Some brilliant work between Hayes and Power as well that laid it on for him. And he just done the Horgan-style finish for me, a class act. But to be fair to Declan, Shaden, where can't he play? He can play everywhere. Goals, you name it. And some operator, to be fair.
Do you think maybe Pat Ryan has an eye on, maybe if Hoggy isn't playing later on in the year, that Declan Daunton would just take the freeze from all over the park?
Yeah, that's something to look at, because they'll need that just in case Patrick picks up an injury or anything, because you're asking fellas to go into big Munster Championship games, you're asking fellas to go to All-Ireland Final games. Go back to Patrick Horgan last year. Do you know, he had ice going through his veins trying to get that game into extra time and stuff like that. And that's what it's about, fellas, for the big day, that you need fellas that will step up and take frees. And he's, no doubt about it, he's one of the men that will be put forward if Patrick wasn't to be there injured or something like that.
Yeah, and some of the newer guys, I mean, you know, they showed some serious fight and will to get that Cork jersey, Mick. I mean, you look at the likes of Michael Mullins from Whitechurch, he got stuck into Jamie Barron. Ben Conaghan got stuck into another Waterford player at the end. There's like an edge and intensity to this Cork team now we probably haven't seen for quite some time, probably since the 05 All-Ireland.
No doubt. I covered my first Hearty Cup game for club going back a few years ago, and Mullins was playing for Northman. You could pick him out that time, you know, one of the good players that was going to come forward. But as we know, there's a step up has to be made, and I had an interview with Pat beforehand, and it's all about just getting him through the system, getting him in into the background of it, and then releasing him at the right time. Top class performer, no doubt about it. Cunningham scored 2 points. One more can you ask for? He's a workhorse. He's big in the wing forward line. Very similar to Brian Hayes, big unit there. So across the wing forward line, nice and big there as well.
People might kind of scoff at this, I guess, Mick, but is there a player on this Cork panel that's spot is actually safe? Maybe I'd probably make the argument for the two Downies. They probably are relatively secure, but the competition this year just seems phenomenal.
That's the key. That's what we spoke about at halftime. It's challenging for each position now. Maybe one or two players. We spoke with Marker at halftime about Eden Toomey, Darragh Fitzgibbon. I suppose if you had to nail down two, you'd say Darragh Fitzgibbon, as I said at halftime. Sure, arguably, if we won the All-Ireland, he was hollered here. There's no doubt about that. So he'd be the only fellow guy. But Robert Downey, I would say that would be a starting 100%. Because at the end of the day, the teams has been changing around. The panel has been changing in and out. Go back to last year, six changes was it there when we went to Cork, when we were on our backs trying to get out of there. So the team has changed quite an awful lot. But Darragh Fitzgibbon, Robert Downey, they're household names and they're on that starting 15, no doubt about it.
On the performance today, who personally stood out to you?
Shane Kingston, I liked him when he came on. I was not obviously not surprised by him adding points over the bar like that. That's what he does. A few newcomers that came on as well, but he was probably the main one that picked out for me. But as for the younger guns, Ben Cunningham, 2 points in your first day out. Do you know what more could you ask for? Padraig Power, very lively inside in the full forward line. He knew what he was doing, setting up a nice goal as well. And Alan Connolly obviously started off another household name. Brilliant out in the sideline point he got. I think was it the first or second point he got. And Robbie Carter was early in the game as well. But made some good good opportunities for players today. And in the back line, Cormac O'Brien, he was in for Robert Downey. Excellent point in the first half. You know, didn't put a foot wrong. Surging runs down through the heart of the water of the defence. You can't ask for much more than that then. In the full back line, John Milrick was solid as they come. And you had Darragh Sullivan first outing again inside in the back line. All experience, and that's what it bodes well for the future.
What do you think the emphasis is going to be on this upcoming league campaign? Is it going to be focusing in on the younger guns, or is it going to be working on the guys they have already as maybe more part of a team plan and team tactics?
Well, you got a good idea today. We had seven in total that snapped at the All-Ireland final. So Pat will mean business, no doubt about that. Get safe, whatever happens in your group. Don't bother, you know, relegation is, you don't want to be fighting any relegation. You want to be staying at the level you're in. So get safe in the group, see what happens. But seven players lined out today, so that gives you an idea what's going to happen in the league in the coming few weeks. Pat will probably, I make out, he will probably have about 7 to 8 like that, I reckon, that he'll have going forward. So that's solid enough.
What do you think this Cork team needs to do this year? Is it just all about getting a trophy? Probably discarding now the National League in that one.
No, the first thing they have to do this year is get out of Munster. That's a minefield. Everyone knows that that's involved in it. Look at Clare. Clare were lucky enough last year as well. I know we dodged it and we rolled the dice a few times. But if they were turned over in a few games, as Peter Queeley and Pat pointed out as well, you know, anything can happen here in the Munster Championship. So I'd say get out of Munster, whatever way we can. If we get to a Munster final, fair enough. But look, the key here is out of Munster first, and we take it from there.
There might be a strong bias on this one, but where do you think Cork rank in the power rankings in terms of national hurling at the moment?
I'm going to stick my neck out in this one, and I stuck it out last year to John Kiley in Clare Castle. I told him that we'd give them all a reminder in 2024, which we did. We sent him packing, and I'd be no surprise then if we'd revisit this next year or whatever, hopefully in July. And I have no doubt about that we'll be back at the helm of the top of hurling, no doubt about it.
The 20 years has a nice ring to it, Mick, doesn't it? Well, hopefully we'll get there.
Yes, look, we need to get that off our back, and that's the key. Whatever happens in Munster, look, you look back at Limerick, they win Munster, look at Clare, they were well beaten, to be fair, in the end, and all of a sudden now they're All-Ireland champions. So it just shows you, get out, keep the injuries down if you can, look after the players at the right time, and I suppose silverware, we'd want to downgrade the Munster Championship either. Silverware is nice to get, but the key here and the holy grail is bringing Liam back to Cork, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, maybe one last one before I let you go. Patrick Horgan, I think, was speaking to the Examiner last week. He's on about being the hunger still being there. How big of an impetus, or how big is it, that Patrick Horgan is now coming back in with the side for the year? He must be some idol to those young guns.
Sure. Growing up as well, I'm not too old now either. So I look back to all these legends. You know, when you, Patrick Horgan is one of them. He's standing top with all the greatest that we have, with Sean Oag, Shawnee McGrath. You could name many, many more. Bin O'Connor. To have, I think Patrick is at his 18th season. He's going for the consistency that he's showing, and to be still there. As I said to you at the start of this, when you're standing in front of 80,000 people and the whole country watching you at home, and you're putting a ball over the bar for an All-Ireland final to draw it or something like that to take it in, you need fellas like that. And he is your Tony Kelly. He may be not, maybe on the wrong side the age-wise, but he is still the number one in that forward line for Cork, no doubt about it. And to have him going forward again for the coming year is absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. We'll make, I'm sure, there's going to be a very exciting year in store for fans of Cork Curling. And you're doing incredible work with Clover TV as well. Can't wait to speak to you soon. And I can't wait to watch more streams that you're on. Really appreciate it.
Dan, thank you for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there from Mick Lennon. Thank you so much, Mick, for your time. Now, a few weeks ago, I was only delighted to be joined by Irish and Munster legend Keith Earls. And he was speaking to me at the launch of the new British and Irish Lions jersey for 2025, with thanks to principal partners Howden. Enjoy. With the Lions Tour of Australia coming up, who are the first three names down on your team sheet to go?
Jesus, oh, put lots of pressure on me there. I'll pick one. We'll pick from Irish. Obviously, a fit Tadhg Furlong has to be on it. I go a spanner in the works as well. I put on Farrellinder 100%. And who else would I put there? Put me under pressure now because I don't want to leave any Munster boy. But, you know, Hugo Keenan as well. Big fan of Hugo. Like, you know, I think it's probably going to be Irish dominant, I would imagine. Like, you know, well, hopefully, because the boys are on form as well. But, yeah, I'd go with them.
With the Irish 10 jersey up for grabs at the moment, over the next few months, who do you think is going to establish themselves as the starter?
Look, I still, Jack Rowley is still the man for me, 100%. Sam has got great potential, and he showed it against Fiji there. But I think Jack could be there for a long time. I think he's getting a lot of unfair criticism the last couple of weeks. You know, the lad is only 24 years of age and still trying to figure himself out, and, you know, playing with a Munster team that hasn't been going so well the last couple of weeks didn't help. But, you know, I think Ireland are in a great position at the moment because they're probably going to have the two of them, Sam and Jack, for a number of years.
Having played with Jack a few times, and many times, of course, what's the biggest compliment you can give to him?
You know, I always say to him, he obviously has his unbelievable skill level, like, you know, attacking, the way he thinks about the game. But you ever see Jack when he makes a mistake? You know, he just moves on to the next one again. He'll do something outrageous, you know. So I think his biggest skill, he sticks in there, and he's not scared to make mistakes. And when he does make mistakes, he doesn't dwell on them.
Should Munster fans be worried at the moment?
Look, obviously things don't look great on paper on what's going on down there. But, you know, it can be encouraged with Mikey Prendergast and Dennis Leamy signing on, like, you know, and the talent is there, the academy is growing really well. Look, obviously it has its issues, but no, we shouldn't be scared, definitely, because you know, it's one thing Munster like to do is have their backs against the wall and come out and prove people wrong. So no, I wouldn't be scared. It just needs a bit of structure down there now, and, you know, the next couple of weeks are quite important, and the game this Saturday against the Lions is probably the most important, obviously.
Who do you think is the best candidate for the Munster head coach role?
I don't know, there's probably loads of names being thrown out. Who's available? Like, you know, Declan Kidney's name being thrown about, and, you know, if you're going on who's available, then, you know, Decky's there. Mikey Prendergast is more than capable. Obviously, he's signed on now, whether they get someone to come above him. I think Declan Kidney could be the right man for that.
Does Munster have a problem maybe in another way? I mean, you look at Limerick as the heartbeat of the province, and with the success that the hurlers have given the county over the last number of years, young people maybe want to be Limerick hurlers rather than Munster rugby players at the moment. Is that a problem you think they're going to face over the next few years?
Yeah, I'm going to blame them Limerick hurlers, yeah. But look, no, it's Limerick, it's a sport in city, and obviously the Cork hurlers, I think Munster hurling in general is massive. Like, you look at all the teams in Munster, they're all competing in the final and semi-finals of the hurling. But no, yeah, and I see it. There's more hurlies than anything in Limerick now. But you know what? I think once we get our academy in place and we get the school structure and all that right, then you know, the AAL is what it is. But yeah, we're definitely losing athletes that are hurling 100%. But you know, when you won a trophy ourselves 2 years ago, so look, a lot of good lads coming, young lads coming through. So we can't blame the Limerick hurlers.
Well, as a Cork man, I don't know, maybe we can. Your great friend Peter Romani, of course, what's been the highlight for you playing with him down over the years? On the pitch and then maybe off the pitch?
Yeah, probably off the pitch stuff is probably can't talk about too many rose maybe. I've enjoyed Pete. I've enjoyed seeing him growing as a leader. Obviously he's been captain for a number of years for Munster, like, but the way he's conducted himself, especially probably the last 6 or 7 years, he's, you know, he would have been, I suppose, a bit shy and a bit into himself, and probably wouldn't have been that bit open. But the way he's thrown himself into the young fellas, the way he's looked after himself, the way he carries on the field, has been huge. And it was a pleasure to share the field with him, and I'm obviously still good friends with him, seeing our families grow together, holiday with him, you know. So yeah, it's been a pleasure to grow with him, really.
Any cycling holidays lined up with him?
We might try on the Tour de France ourselves when he retires.
When he does retire, how big of a hole is he going to leave in that Munster dressing room?
Yeah, it's gonna be massive, you know. And when you think of Munster back in the days, you think of Paul O'Connell, you think of Raj, Donegal Callaghan, all these lads, and you know, in particular the last kind of 7, 8, 9 years, it's when you think of Munster, you think about Peter O'Mahony. Like, you know, he's I suppose he's one of the war heroes for really. Like, you know, he always shows up on the big day, even though when his body isn't allowing him, he still shows up. But still plenty left in the tank for Peter as well. Like, you know, people would write him off. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on for Norway.
That's kind of in the serious questions. You set up your company, 1114 Coffee Roasters. Name the Irish player you think would put the most time, patience and effort and ultimately make you the best cup of coffee.
100% Simon Zeebo. He's a big messer and all that, but he's always, when we were at Munster, he was the first fella to offer a coffee, and he was always the fella willing to make the coffee, whether it was for TikTok or for us, I don't know. But definitely, I'm actually popping down to see him tomorrow. So
he's setting up his own cafe as well. Are you going to go on a little venture there, 1114 Coffee being in the store?
Yeah, I don't know, we'll see. He's sticking to the whiskey at the moment, like, you know. So the Black Emerald, I'm sure it'll go well for him. Like, you know, he's that kind of person that everyone enjoys him. He'll market it well, and I'm sure it's going to be nice. His father's big into the whiskey, so maybe he could be 11, 14, 15, 23, 24. So, like, we'll see.
And I suppose the last one here, you were always kind of held up as, I guess, the antithesis to this one. Is rugby a posh sport?
No, it's not. It's not. And without being cliche, it's a game for everyone, isn't it? You see that here in this country, you know, everyone, anyone is playing it, and big difference in all the provinces as well, and we're all competing.
That's it, Keith Doyle. Thanks so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, huge thanks to Irish and Munster rugby legend Keith Earls for his time. Look, on a day with fairly little local action, we had to go back to an interview I had with Mark Coyle from a few weeks back, the Donegal man who captained Shelburne to the League of Ireland title last season. And you know it's a quiet day for Cork Sport when I'm putting out an interview with the Shells captain, but nevertheless, hope you enjoy. Mark Coyle, how have you reflected on the Shells title win?
Yeah, look, it's been a special year for us. A lot of pride, a lot of joy, and a lot of celebrating has been done. But today we're back in, and that marks the start of a new season, so it's parked now. Our full focus is now is on next year.
What was the highlight of the celebration?
There was a few, yeah. Look, we obviously really enjoyed ourselves, and rightly so too. It was a hard, long year, and I think it's very important that you enjoy them times as well, because that's what it's all about. If it was the day of my high, I can't really probably coming back here with a trophy to Talca Park in front of everybody and the celebrations.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the image of yourself and Duff there with the Riverside stand going, the flares going. Is that up on the mantelpiece yet?
Not yet, no, but it's definitely one that will be, definitely. Even the gaffer himself sent me it and he says one for the mantelpiece, because look, it's a special photo, a special memory, and it's something that when it's all said and done and you're looking back in your career, it's something that I'll be looking back fondly on.
And what was it like getting the honour of becoming a captain at this club?
Yeah, I've said this many times, there was a lot of pride for me, a lot of pride for my family as well, and I was obviously very grateful to the gaffer and the coaching staff for picking me and seeing something in me that they saw it fit to pick me. But I saw it was a challenge as well. I think there's a lot of experiences now that I can draw on for this year, looking back on last year, and a lot of pride to be a captain of a club like Shelburne, how big they are, and I was also very grateful that in your first year you won the league.
The fixtures are out imminently, home or away, and who do you want first game?
To be honest with you, I'm not just saying this, I haven't really thought too much about it. I think focus is on here and now for us. It's about putting in the hard work in the pre-season. Obviously you probably want the home draw for your first game, get it back out here in front of Talca Park or in front of our fans, and look, to me, we won't have to play everybody four times anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I read in an article you were thinking of giving up football when you were at Finn Harps, I guess part time and everything, but you're also playing GA. Did you have ambitions going county with Donegal?
Yeah, look, I think it was probably the part time in that, but no, yeah, before I went to Harps I was actually up with the senior panel in 2017. I was played minors in 21, so yeah, look, I did have them sort of aspirations, but I think that year at the senior level I realised my body wasn't really built for it, to be honest with you. The training sessions, the dogging sessions and that, I found myself injured quite a bit, but what I would say about that time was that it made me realise how far off I was, and I knew I had to put in a lot of work on my body myself, and that's what I did. And I'd say that's what stood me in good stead, and that's why I'm here now where I am.
Those dogging sessions, was that the Jim McGuinness effect?
Yeah, look, it was Rory Gallagher at the time, yeah, so I'd say it was much the same. And but what I'd found is that the intensity that they did everything at would be much the same now to what we have here with the gaffer and the coaching staff, them standards, driving them standards. So, as I said, I think it's doing me in good stead.
How close do you think Donegal got on All-Ireland this year?
Yeah, I think they have a great chance. Last year, obviously, they got to the semi-final. I was at the game, and where they fell away to Galway. I think it's quite like the league, to be honest with you. I think there's a number of teams that would fancy themselves that can go and win it, so why not Donegal?
What's your opinion on the new third tier being brought in by the league?
Yeah, I think it's can only be a good thing for the league. Look, the more teams in that sort of level of football in Ireland, the better for everybody. It can only lead us in one way, and that's better.
In general, is the league the strongest it's ever been?
I would say you'd probably have to ask people that's played in it, you know, for longer than me, I would say. But to me, anyway, it's definitely, since my time in the league, it's definitely the hardest it's been, the toughest. You're coming up against quality opposition week in, week out now, and that showed in the league last year where there wasn't that much of a divide between the teams and everybody was beating everybody, and I expect it to be quite similar this year, actually tougher. You look around, teams are strengthening everywhere, and I'd say there's a number of teams that would fancy themselves to go and try and win it.
The impetus that we have now in the league, how much of that do you think is down to your own Damien Duff?
Yeah, I was actually saying that earlier. I think what he's done for the league, nobody can match it really. The recognition he's brought, just what he's done for the league. But I think that's why I probably don't understand sometimes the criticism he gets, because if you really look at it in the big picture, he's actually wanting to better Irish football as a whole. He knows for the Irish national team to be better, for football in Ireland to be better, the League Ireland should be given the recognition it deserves, and bringing the quality up, and that's what he's done.
Something we spoke about a few times is, I guess, staying with Shells and in Ireland. Has he ever given you a sense that, or has he just give, does he just give you the sense he wants to stay in Ireland, even with outside interest from England probably now at the moment?
Yeah, look, I know I'm sure he's turned down offers here and there in his time here, because how could he not with how successful he's been since he's come in? Look, that's his personal business. To us, day in, day out, the standards he drives, that's why we are where we are. We followed suit, we bought into it. There's a culture there now, and that was created by him and the coaching staff. We've bought into it and drive it ourselves now as well, and that's important. But to me, look, he loves Shelburne, he loves the League of Ireland, and when he says that, he genuinely means it. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens in the future, that's his business, but right now, this is where he wants to be.
After that Derry loss in the year, I think it was after the Cup, he threw on Only Fools and Horses on the Monday. Was that true that did happen?
Yeah, look.
What was going through your head when the DVD came out?
I knew exactly probably what he was doing. And I think that's an aspect of the coaching staff and him that doesn't really get recognised, is how shrewd they are and how they know to play the group. And what's needed for the group, and at that time a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh was needed, and yeah, we enjoyed ourselves, we had a bit of crack laughing about it. But there's always movie quotes coming in and movie clips, and but they've always got a point to them, something that actually resonates with us, or something that we have to do on the pitch that's in the movie. And I don't know how they do it, they're very creative.
What movie stuck out for you during the year?
The name of it now is just gone to me. It's John Travolta and
Grease.
Samuel Jackson.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
Pulp Fiction.
That's the one. Yeah.
I don't know how we fit that one in.
It's the one about the car, the cleaning the car, and they say something, and it just shows you how much it resonated with me. But I can't really remember. Maybe to do the fact I'm freezing here, but
the McDonald's clip. And I suppose another story that hit the headlines was the Jose Mourinho phone call. Did he give you the £500 into the kitty? Were you man of his word?
He was, yeah. Well, I had to chase him for it. I gave him a message on the Sunday when our funds were running low on our own kitty, so I thought we'd get a boost off it. And he said it, in fairness to him. And he looks after us. When he says that, he does look after us big time. He's he spent quite a bit of money on the bar for us now.
Well, what's it like going on the piss with Damien Duff?
Yeah, that's good crack. Can't say too much. Yeah, no, it's always good crack. Yeah. Looking, that aspect of football is very important. That bond inside, and I think he knows how important it is. We know how important it is. Them nights out together is when you get to know somebody really. You know, you always seem to find to get to know them on a deeper level. So, yeah.
I have two more here. All right, your brain might not be able to handle it. The top. Can you name the top three greatest Irish footballers of all time in your opinion?
Yeah, well, no particular order. I know I'd say the gaffer, Roy Keane. No, I always liked Ronnie Whelan.
Why is the League of Ireland the greatest league in the world?
For me, anyway, it's that. I think it's the connection between the fans and the players. I don't think you really get that at other leagues. You know, it's everybody sort of knows everybody. It's there's such that closeness between us. The volunteers then as well around the leagues, like. Said that before, the work that goes into a Friday night to make it happen, there's a lot of volunteers do it, and without them we wouldn't be able to play. I think that makes it special. It's right now it's probably the quality of the league and how tough it is to win it makes it special. So there's any number of aspects really.
Yeah, that's it, Mark. Appreciate it, my man. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Get warm.
Yeah,
huge thanks to Mark Hoyle of Shelburne there. And the ref's whistle has gone for halftime here on the Big Red Bench. But be sure to stay with us as in the second half, we'll interview some Kerry's Kayleigh Cronin and Kilkenny's Walter Walsh. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. Into a bit of Premier League action now. And Arsenal currently lead 1-0 at halftime against Brighton in the final game of action in the Premier League today. Ian Beach has the latest from the Amex Stadium.
Brighton 0, Arsenal 1 at half time. Ethan Nwaneri scoring the only goal. Then Arsenal really had two clear cut chances. The one that Nwaneri scored in the 16th minute. And about 5 minutes before that, when Gabriel Jesus was in a similar position, one on one with the Brighton goalkeeper, Bart Verbruggen. And on that first occasion, Verbruggen saved with his right boots. on the second occasion. Guarneri scored underneath the goalkeeper's body. The Brighton supporters frustrated with Arsenal. Some gamesmanship from them late in the first half to try to run down the clock, especially when we were in injury time at the end of the first half. The truth of the matter is that when Arsenal just leading by one goal, Brighton are still in this match. It's Brighton 0, Arsenal 1.
Yeah, we'll try to keep you up to date there. Earlier, Man City smashed West Ham 4-1 in the Premier League. Shane Pinnington had the latest from the Etihad.
It's finished Manchester City 4, West Ham 1, and Pep Guardiola named an unchanged side for this match, and he was rewarded with his side's joint biggest win of the season as the champions moved to within 2 points of the top four. Both Kudos and Socek missed good chances for the visitors before Savinho's cross deflected off Soufal to put the visitors in front. And they made it 2 just before the break when Savinho's cross was headed home by Erling Haaland. Haaland then got his second 10 minutes into the second half when he chipped over Areola from Savinho's pass, and it was 4 when De Bruyne found Foden to slot home just before the hour mark. The visitors did get a goal back through Nicholas Fulkrug, but that was just a mere consolation. It's finished Manchester City 4, West Ham 1.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola was speaking to the press after the match, saying his players have earned the result.
When we play good, we know when they play good. I'm so happy for the guys. We work. The first minutes, they were deserved to be 0-1 or 0-2. We were lucky in the first goal. And we are a strong team because we run a lot, and with the ball, we were the composer, and now we don't have it.
Aston Villa won a topsy-turvy game against Leicester City 2-1 in the Premier League. Tom Ross has the full-time report from Villa Park.
Aston Villa 2, Leicester 1. Three valuable points for Unai Emery's side and a disaster for Leicester, who are fighting relegation. The first half was an absolute non-event, apart from Villa losing their influential skipper, John McGinn, with a calf injury. Second half, though, was heading the same way until Ross Barkley smashed the ball into the net to put Villa ahead. 6 minutes later, though, it's all square when Mavididi put the ball into the back of the net after Vardy had tried to beat the keeper from just by the near post. And then Leon Bailey, who'd had a poor game, got in on the act on 77 minutes, a ball from Kamara into the box. He got there ahead of the defender and turned it into the net. From there on, the result was never in doubt. They could have had two or three more in the last 10 minutes or so. Aston Villa 2, Leicester 1.
Yeah, that's the action from Villa Park, where Crystal Palace equalised late on against Chelsea to rescue a 1-1 draw in the Premier League this afternoon. Katsov has the full-time report from Selhurst Park.
It's finished Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 1. Enzo Maresca's side have missed the chance to go third in the Premier League table after being held to a 1-1 draw. Cole Palmer made a cold afternoon even cooler with his opener, set up beautifully by Jadon Sancho to give the visitors the lead. But the hosts picked up the pace in the second half, putting pressure on their opponents. Eze crossed the ball into a waiting Jean-Philippe Mateta in the six-yard box, who slotted it in to bring things level in South London. Palace continuing to distance themselves from the relegation zone. It ended Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 1.
And to our first game of the day, Newcastle beat Tottenham in the Premier League. Guy Swindles has the full-time report from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Spurs 1, Newcastle 2, and Newcastle's wonderful run continues as they look to challenge for a Champions League place. Spurs took the lead through Solanke's diving header in the fourth minute. Gordon levelled up just 2 minutes later, and Isak scored the eventual winner, poking home from about a yard out just before the break. In the second half, Spurs were the better side after Newcastle had probably shaved the first half, but they just couldn't score. They created chances after chance, and Solanke summed it up when he headed straight at the keeper, who had given a wonderful opportunity deep into the 13 minutes, added on at the end. But in the end, Spurs couldn't quite get there. Spurs 1, Newcastle 2.
That's all the Premier League roundup we have. Back to the GAA, and a few weeks back, I was delighted to be joined by the recently retired Walter Walsh of Kilkenny. Here he is talking about his career and the current state of play in hurling. There is not much in the way of local sport today, but I still managed to get that Cork bias across.
Walter, how are you getting on anyway, lad?
Great, how are you?
I'm not too well. Well, look, congratulations are in order anyway, first and foremost. How is Fado treating you? What, 3 days into it now, at the stage, is it?
No, it's actually 3 weeks into it now, but I only announced it there on Sunday. But no, great. Yeah, everyone's going great. They're healthy. Learning as I go, but or as we go, even the two of us. But yeah, it's going great.
Are the twins the main reason behind your retirement?
No, not at all. No, in fairness, Vicky, which we knew we were having twins, I'd say maybe since maybe April or March or whenever that was. And yeah, that wasn't the reason at all. Like Vicky actually encouraged me, so if you want to go back, don't let the twins stop you. It's a lot of other reasons, I suppose. I'm 33 years of age now. There's not many lads playing at that age, inter-county level, and I need an operation on my thumb, and the groin injury is still not 100%. So there's I can think of many reasons why not go back, but yeah, I'm not going back now anyway.
Few batteries, but look, what's been the highlight in the Kilkenny jersey?
I think just been wearing the black and amber, winning All Ireland. You know, that's something you dream of growing up in Kilkenny, and yeah, that's it. Just being part of it, and yeah, winning with great teammates and great friends, representing the club, playing with Kilkenny as well, is it's been a massive achievement for me, and something I was incredibly honoured to do.
What will you miss most about that Kilkenny dressing up?
Just the bit of crack. I think there's a lot of things you'd miss from it. Like, I know no different. I'm at the last 12 years with Kilkenny seniors, and I suppose I was minor and under 21 before that. So it's just, I suppose, competing at that high level as well, and just challenging yourself against the best players in the county, and then going on to fight with them together to beat the best teams in the country. Just that, the challenge, I think, is what I'll miss most. Intense training, the whole... There's a lot of aspects of it, but yeah, the crack around the dressing room as well, and with the lads, yeah, definitely.
Well, what way do you see that Kilkenny dressing room at the moment in terms of, you know, player quality, ambitions of the team?
I think, yeah, there's talent coming in, there's young lads coming in there as well all the time. Yeah, just look, thereabouts, winning in All-Ireland. Like, I think they need to be ambitious and try and push on winning All-Ireland. That's it. We haven't been too far away the last number of years, so it's...
Yeah,
just
you haven't been too far away, but does it feel like it's so close yet so far? Because there was always the Limerick there. Clare got over the line last year. It seems like Cork are coming, in my opinion, anyway. Well, like, I think there's going to be more of a gap now between the Munster teams and Kilkenny.
It's hard to know. Every year is different. Look, we weren't too far away from Clare this year, and they went on to win the All-Ireland as well. So, look, it's like... Obviously, it's a massive challenge to win an All-Ireland final, but... I think Kilkenny are definitely capable of winning in All-Ireland, and that's what makes it a bit harder to leave them.
And Nicky Quaid, how big of a loss do you think he'll be in that Limerick team?
Massive loss, yeah. He's, I'm sure the goalkeepers, there's be a new goalkeeper in this year. I'm sure he's extremely talented as well, if he's trained with Nicky Quaid over the years as well, and there might be more lads, there might be trialing more goalkeepers as well. His puck outs are incredible. He's been a brilliant goalkeeper for last, I don't know how many years, but he's going to be a massive loss for Limerick, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there might be a new Keevan Keller from the Alison Becker going on.
Yeah.
How was life underling his post quality?
There was many differences, but then a lot of similarities. I think the morals of being a Kilkenny hurler and the standard set were evident with Derek, as they were with Brian. There was changes, different personnel and so on, but again, they have the same principles. They both love Kilkenny hurling and want to win with Kilkenny.
One result, I guess, that stuck out during the year was the draw against Carlow, and a lot of people's comments, and look, to be fair, I agreed with it at the time as well, was that wouldn't have happened under Cody. Do you agree with that?
No, just every game is different. Like, Carlow played very well that day, and look, that's sport. Like, there's, you know, Kilkenny drew with Carlow, like, that happens, like, that's sport. I suppose Kilkenny still went on to win the Leinster final as well. That's what I'd be kind of looking at. I wasn't involved that day. I was out injured against Carlow, but like, that's sport. Like, that's the challenge. Like, that can happen.
Sure, that's when they drew what you were out like.
Yeah. Yeah, make that clear. I wasn't playing that day. No, but just that's sport. Yeah.
Looking to the future, what players do you think are going to drive this Kilkenny team forward?
I still think TJ, I'm not sure if he's announced if he's going back or not, but I think TJ is still, I'd be very surprised if he didn't. I think he's still a great player. We've a lot of young lads coming through there as well that are going to get chances this year, with a few old lads like me stepping away and so on. And like, I think you're looking at the likes of the Hugh Lawler there, is a powerful player, great leader. On Cody, Adrian Mullen really drive it on. John Donnelly, assuming he'll be captain, like, John's an incredible player as well. I think he could really lead Kilkenny as well. Owen Murphy goal, like he's an incredible leader as well. Like, leaders are spotted throughout the team, but John Donnelly I think will be an excellent captain. Again, I would like to play under John as well. Like, just he's been a great teammate as well. So, yeah. Well, assuming he's getting the captaincy, I could be wrong now. But yeah. A fabulous year with Thomason and with Kilkenny.
Shannon McAtee, while not confirmed, there's huge rumours and speculation, obviously, that he'll move to Kilkenny. Do you think that's a move that'd be good for Kilkenny?
I'm not sure if he's on the panel or not. I've only heard the speculations. To be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot of Fionnán Hurlan, but I heard he's a great belt on the ball and he seems to be played very well with O'Loughlin. So I didn't see many of the senior games this year. So it's not really fair. I wouldn't really be able to answer that.
TJ Reid, what's it like to play alongside a great like him?
TJ, oh, brilliant, yeah, he's a great team player. Look, he's going to go down as one of the best. You know, he's battling with Pat Horgan there for the top scorer. Is Horgan ahead?
Horgan's ahead. Cream always rises to the top.
Pat, excellent player as well, obviously, yeah. TJ, yeah, he's a great player. He'd go down as one of the best ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Actually, what's the story with the high socks in the Kilkenny dressing room? Yourself and TJ rocking them now over the last few years.
Well, I started doing it. I always did it because maybe through rugby, like the socks used to be up playing rugby, so I kept doing it in hurling. And then for TJ must have thought it looked well on me, so he started copying me. And that's
your
it.
That's your icon, the Kilkenny dressing
well,
room.
Well, to TJ and TJ's eyes maybe, but not the rest of them.
Give us your Mount Rushmore. This is like your top four of Kilkenny hurling greats.
I put TJ in it.
I think you have to.
He'd like that too much though. I'll go TJ, Henry, JJ and Tommy.
Who do you think will win the All-Ireland in 2025?
Kilkenny.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you think it'll be Kilkenny?
I just do. I wouldn't go against my own. Yeah, I guess Kilkenny. Like, I think, why not? Why not Kilkenny?
I think I was listening to an interview with you before, and you played a lot of other sports. What other sports were they?
I tried my hand at most sports. Sure, hurling, football, rugby, played a bit of golf, even played a bit of tennis for a while there.
Was hurling the one you were naturally gifted at?
Hurling and rugby were probably my two main ones. There was a time when rugby was probably my number one sport, I'd say. Yeah, there was. I was probably leaning more towards playing rugby. This is when I'm 13, 14 years of age.
What position
were you? No, I wasn't always really tall. Like, I was a late bloomer in that sense. So I played 10. Like, I was used to be kicker. Like, okay. Yeah.
What do you make of the whole Crowley Prendergast Frawley debate at the moment then?
It's hard to know, really. There's massive competition there. Was anyone really put their hand up to take the position? But Crowley is probably at the top of that now at the minute. You'd imagine, obviously, you'd want to think that you're from Cork as well. Like you understand what you wanted to hear now.
I think Prendergast will take it eventually.
Look, it's there. Like it's going to be hard to fill Sexton's boots anyway. That's one thing for sure.
You're surely vaguely familiar with speak when you hear a better player than.
Yeah, I am. So what? Like, I've seen a few of these, right? So what? Mm-hmm. What exactly? I just.
So you got to speak when you hear a better player. That's Henry.
And what do I say when?
And that springs to mind, which is kind of the challenging part and annoying part as well. Well, if some lads said bang, other people say yeah, and then I'll generally ask, yeah, why is?
Yeah. Okay, fair. Yeah, no, I did. Yeah.
Walter Walsh, speak when you hear a better player than Henry Shefflin. Tommy Walsh, Sean O'Gahalpine, DJ Carey, Joe Canning, Tony Kelly, Droad Hagerty, Patrick Corrigan, Chris Deering, and TJ Reid.
I give it to TJ.
Would you give it to TJ over Henry?
I don't know.
From my unbiased for once opinion and all this, I'd say Henry's better than TJ.
Sure, they're two of the greats, really. Like, I played with both of them, probably because I played with TJ longer and I've just seen him more. That's probably it. Some of the stuff he does is incredible.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Water Walsh of Kilkenny there. Best luck to him on his inter-county retirement. He was speaking to me as part of the AIB Goal Mile. Someone else I spoke to as part of the campaign was Kayleigh Cronin of Kerry.
And what have the last few months looked like for you in general?
Busy, but all good stuff. A lot being asked of us, but more than happy to oblige. The people of Kerry have been so good to us over the last couple of years, and particularly since obviously the final and stuff, that it's nice to give back where we can.
You're, of course, Crokes player yourself on the men's side. Mm-hmm. You must give them a serious shout now for winning in All-Ireland, especially with Kilmacud, yeah. St. Bridget's, Glengon.
Yeah, a lot of the big hitters seem to be out, but look, there's a lot of teams there riding a crest wave of confidence, you know, so there's a lot of good teams still left, no doubt about it, but yeah, I'll always back to Crokes to go all the way.
And what's it like playing for a club like Dr. Crokes? I guess a club so intertwined in the fabric of Gaelic football almost.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm Black Kerry, like anyone who knows me will tell you that. But whatever pride I have for Kerry, like it's nothing compared to Crokes. It's why you do what you do with Kerry, is basically to you're representing your club, obviously. The people involved, the club itself, everything about it, just absolutely love it to bits and love being a part of it.
I've seen you're out in New York, and you were, was it, I guess, presented at halftime or quarter-time, whatever they call it, in the Mets Stadium?
Yeah, it was actually before the game. I think they called it flag holding or something. It was the MetLife Stadium, you're right. The Jets were playing. Basically, like, the American flag is waved while they're doing the national anthem. So, yeah, great crack. Like, we were out there for a good 10 minutes, I'd say. No, help that we had tailgated before it and had a few in us, but yeah, like the kickers were warming up like 4 or 5 metres away from us, like, and just to see them and a lot of big fellas there, like, all running past us and everything, once in a lifetime experience, you know. People only dream about that stuff. We didn't even know it was happening until a couple of days before it, so it was absolutely unbelievable, and for the lads for starting it or even thinking about doing that, yeah, you know, is huge. It was an unbelievable holiday and something that we'll remember forever, really.
Well, what else did you get up to in New York?
We got up to lots. We left no stone unturned anyway, that's for sure. And we went to a basketball game as well. We were below in the Barclays Centre for the Nets. Fortunately, they lost, but looked, it was great crack. The lads below in Red Chair Recruitment sorted an unbelievable package for us. We were basically up in like a box and whatever. I'd say there was about the bones of 35 or 40 of us there. It was frightening, like, food, drink, you name it, like, not a bother. And even after the game, then Niamh Carmody and Schieffer and the two boys swapped the jersey with the Nets, whatever, like, so Carmody's had to promise me that jersey for the wall. I'm still waiting on it, but I'm sure it'll come soon enough.
Is that the incentive now to go and win an Ireland next year?
If I could be getting another holiday like that. Nah, I'm only messing. Look, as I said, that holiday, look, it's once in a lifetime. It was a huge, I suppose, break for us. Typically, like, you know, we're training and whatnot. And we have gone on holidays before, but obviously paid for them ourselves. So from on behalf of all the group and everything, for the people of Kerry, anyone who helped out with that, like, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because it was something that we'll cherish forever.
The amalgamation of the LGFA and Camogie Associations into the GA is something that's been talked about. Are you in favour of that?
Hugely in favour. Can't see it happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
What do you think that is?
I think it's too slow. I don't think... again, my own personal opinion now, but like I don't think all associations are pulling in the same direction, to be honest with you. I think there's a huge gap there that needs to be approached pretty quickly, and with a bit more pace and purpose than it is being done at the minute. And hopefully, I'd love to be wrong about it. Hopefully, we'll be done sooner rather than later. But at the minute, I don't think it's anywhere near close enough.
Are you looking over at the men's teams? More of an intercounty level rather than Crokes, to be fair. But seeing all the things they get.
Like, yes and no. Like, I think sometimes, like, when this is spoken about, like, the boys nearly get pulled down about it. Like, it's not on them. Like, it's not up to them to be doing anything for us, like, and more importantly, like, anything we've ever asked of the boys, and they're one of our biggest supporters, like, they'd really love to see it happen as well, so it's not to be bringing them down or to be talking badly about them and everything, but when you do see some of the opportunities they get, like, you of course you'd be jealous more than anything else, and thinking, like, Jez is like, I'm training 4 and 5 nights a week as well, and it's not that I want to take anything from them or we want to take anything from them, but to be awarded the same opportunity would be lovely.
what's it like to receive an All-Star? Must be nice.
Something else, yeah. Again, like that, like, Christ, if you ever even dreamed of an All-Ireland, let mind an All-Star. Look, it's huge. It's not why you tug out at the start of the year. It certainly isn't why you go through all of those grueling sessions and everything for the individual award. But you'd never say no to them. It's obviously a good sign when there's seven Kerry girls on top of the stage at the end of the year. It's a sign that the team itself is doing well. So yeah, seven girls on the stage on the night represented 15 that were there and represented another 36 and that were at home and everything. So it was a group effort to get us there.
Was that ever a bit of a goal for you, even at the back of your head, maybe not to the forefront?
Honestly, no, and that's the gospel honest truth. I think, again, it's never a bad sign, and it's never something you'd say no to, and it's a huge honour and privilege, not only for yourself but for your club and the other teammates and everything. But at the end of the day, I can guarantee you, if you chat to girls who have All-Stars and don't have All-Irelands, they'd swap the All-Stars in a heartbeat for the All-Irelands. So we have that in the back pocket now. Hopefully another few more to come in a couple of years.
Great to get the boat.
That's it.
You're a PT for a living, am I right?
Yeah. So basically my undergrad was in kind of like sports physio, be the easy way to describe it. And then my master's was in sports performance. And lucky enough to get a job in Activate in Killarney. And basically what the areas I'm focused on there is kind of athletic development, so youth development, and then the athlete side of it as well, so sports and stuff like that. So would love to get into more of the sports side of it, but just with training and equipment to Kerry and Crokes at the minute, not quite possible. But over the next couple of years, I'll definitely get more into it.
What's one exercise that every GA player should be doing at the moment?
At the moment, pre-season. Well, when you know you're coming into some hard slogs running in December and January, I'd be looking at getting those hamstrings right. They're notorious at the start of the year when you've done nothing for a while. People go back into long runs then. So nothing like a Nordic to get them right.
Well, what's a Nordic?
A Nordic curl. If you haven't done them, I get doing them. If you have done them, you know what I'm on about.
Well, brilliant stuff. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Huge thanks to all of our contributors. But Marty Kilfoyle is on.